Blog Talk Radio.
Educating black women about her story from all schools of thought. Radio, dedicated to black women and the study of who and what we are.
and blessings. You are listening to Black Universe Radio, and this is your host, Priestess Tara, also known as Seek Wisdom. I have a very, very interesting show today, to say the least. We will be talking with Queen Klett of the Gullah Geechee Nation and getting into some information about culture and heritage of the Gullah Geechee Nation. Later, that's going to be the first hour, and then later on in the show we will be, you know, getting up with some of our sisters that attended the 2011 Black Womaniverse Spring Equinox Retreat. Wow, you know, to anyone who missed the retreat, you definitely missed having a wonderful time. Just very excited, you know, leading up to the retreat, and definitely looking forward to the next one. This retreat we just came from was in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And again, we also went and did a tour with Queen Klett of the Gullah Geechee Nation, which we will be discussing some of the culture and heritage, as I stated a few moments ago. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the call lines just to say hello to some of the listeners. And if you're listening to us on Facebook, come on over to us on blogtalkradio.com/Black Womaniverse so that you can participate in our chat room and, you know, just come on over. Anyway, briefly, I'm going to go ahead and open up the line just to say hello to everyone, a couple of the sisters we have on the line. I see Lynn. How are you today, sis?
I'm great. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Excited. Definitely Lynn was on the retreat with us, and we'll get into that within the second hour. But like I said, I just want to open the lines up to have a little bit of conversation while we wait for Queen Klett. And I'm going to go ahead and open up Sister Charlene's line. How are you today, sis?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. You sound all cool and serene and everything. Right.
I'm all wrapped up in my blanket waiting to get it in. Just wait.
All right. Well, I can't wait till we get to the second hour where we get into some of the activities and everything, you know, the treat. Had for us, and I'm still high off of that energy from us, you know, just being together with Black women that are on the same accord and are familiar with, you know, who and what they are. I didn't even want to leave that particular retreat because the surroundings were so beautiful. Just being there in front of the beach, I miss it. And plus it was warm. I came back home, and then, what, 2 or 3 days ago we had snow here. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, I agree. So I'm still on the beach.
Yeah, I'm still very much so on the beach. Very much so. So what's going on in PA? What's going on in Philly, Charlene?
Nothing. Nothing.
Wow. Nothing?
It was flurrying. Wait, it did flurry. Wait, it was flurrying one day and then it stopped, but now it's just super cold.
Wow. That's interesting.
I know. You know they're messing with the weather.
Yeah, that may be true. I think, you know, to me, I honestly just think the Earth is going through some, you know, some shifts right now. She is definitely shifting, and the weather is going to change. Everything's going to seem out of, you know, what some call normal pattern, but there really isn't any such thing as normal pattern. It's just more so what we've gotten used to or accustomed to. But definitely. We could go ahead and get into, you know, our experience with Gullah Geechee. I really didn't want to get too far into that, you know, prior to Queen Klett getting on the line. But while we wait, I'll say, you know, I did pick the location of Hilton Head, South Carolina, because, you know, Gullah Geechee is in St. Helena Island. And I had done a little research, you know, about that area and in digging up some information on my family history when I ran across information regarding my grandmother, you know, my mother's side, and then her father, it kind of sort of led me to, you know, based off of some of the culture and, you know, how she spoke and, you know, just different things from, you know, family history, speaking to, you know, great uncles and cousins and things like that. That's kind of sort of what led me to start researching and getting more into Gullah Geechee. And when I found out about the history and the, you know, the culture, it just intrigued me even more. So hopefully we will have her on the line shortly so that we can, you know, speak with her about the history. But I noticed when we were riding down to St. Helena Island to do the tour, you know, I just felt the energy shift from where we were before, you know, and then riding through. I don't know if y'all remember that. I was like, the energy feels different here. It just feels different. Do y'all remember me saying that?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to say peace to everyone in the chat room, a couple of folks in the chat room. I know today, Tuesday at 7, is not the normal time for Black Womanverse Radio to air. So let me see if I can. Check my email here, make sure. Anyway, prior to us going there, everyone had, you know, a little pamphlet with some information that I had put together for the retreat with our, you know, our itinerary and things like that. And just looking at, you know, the information regarding Gullah Geechee and Queen Quet that you would find on the internet, you know, briefly, the two of you just, I mean, speak on, you know, what were the main things that we found that you really could only get when you got there versus the information that you found just trying to scour the internet and do your own personal research or read the information that I provided for everyone. Were there some things that definitely stood out that you couldn't find, you know, on the internet and that would definitely, you know, someone who's interested would, you know, pique their interest and want to go and do a tour, you know, with Gullah Geechee, you know, and the Gullah Geechee Nation themselves?
I found that the most interesting, a lot of the information that Queen Quet gave us on the tour, you can find when searching about the nation. When she talked, she showed her passion for her nation. She showed, you know, she discussed their struggle in becoming and staying a nation, in keeping their land. The history of the area, you know, who from history has been there, stayed there, and, you know, how they, what they've done in that area, you know, things like that you can't find on the internet. So it was definitely beneficial to actually be there, the feel of that land when we were there. You know, the interaction to see the people and how they responded, you know, that's something that you had to be there to witness.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the information regarding Harriet Tubman was the main thing that really stood out to me, the different how the land and some of the native people were in, you know, certain clips in certain movies. Like she mentioned Glory, and then she also mentioned, which movie did she mention by Mel Gibson? It was a movie that he produced or either acted in. Patriot, that's it.
I think it was The Patriot.
Yeah, that was it. And yeah, but it was just interesting to see all of that you know, to hear that come from her in terms of, you know, and then having someone who's, you know, indigenous, their family and their bloodline is indigenous to that particular area. There, you know, we discussed on the way down how we felt there was definitely a difference in what the write-ups were online in terms of how the Gullah Geechee culture took a hold there in that area versus what they were telling us online. There's a difference between, you know, hearing it from her and then reading it online. So I just want to, you know, impress upon people to, dig deeper when they're doing their research and to actually get up and go visit some of these places. I mean, it's amazing the amount of places here in the state that have rich indigenous and African culture, you know, here. So, you know, I just want people to get out there and get some hands-on, you know, go do some tours. You don't always have to get on a plane and go to Africa to find out, you know, different information regarding history, heritage, and culture, because a lot of it is here in different locations. And depending where you do your research at, you know, like I said, there are indigenous people here to the lands that look just like you and I, you know, so don't believe everything that we're taught in schools, because we get taught what they want us to know versus what and how things happen and, of course, where. So just wanted to put that out there. I hope we didn't get our dates and our times confused, because I don't see her on the switchboard. I'm hoping everything is okay, as she's very she's normally very on time, but we'll wait. You know, anything can happen. So we'll just go ahead and get into, you know, our experiences on the retreats. We have two other sisters on the line who also participated with the retreat. We have Lisa. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. And we also have Magic. What's up, sis?
Hi. Hey, everybody. Hey, Magic.
Hi, Magic.
Well, did anyone want to? I know we had our own private conference call about our retreat, but now is the time we can share this information with the listeners. You know, I'm not going to get into as detailed as we did on our private conference call, but does anybody want to speak about their experiences, you know, coming to a retreat, you know, being with a group of women that they've never met before, and specifically the fact that these are, you know, black women? Because it's not typical of us to go jump out there and go fly or drive hundreds of miles to be in a group setting with sisters and sisters that are not, you know, in the mainstream religious circles, if you will. So just speak on that. Anyone can go first. Don't all jump out there once. See, that's what I mean when I say don't all jump out there once. I say something and everybody falls silent. See, that's what I mean. Y'all just go let me talk, and then everybody goes silent on purpose. I think they made a pact with each other at the retreat to do this to me. I'm telling y'all, they did. Just kidding. So seriously, you know, anyone, just, you know, speak on your experience or, you know, how things were, if you had any epiphanies while you were there, anything changed, you know, just talk about it so other sisters will know, you know, what to look forward to next year. Even though our location is going to be different next year, they still will know what to look forward to in terms of participating with the Black Woman Verse Retreat.
Yeah, go ahead, Lisa.
You can go ahead. Go ahead.
I had a wonderful time on the retreat. It was wonderful to meet women who you chat with over Blog Talk or, you know, on site, and to meet them in person was priceless. That was a wonderful experience to get together and take in things such as the tour and then other things that we did. We had a good time with each other. It was wonderful to be in serene, beautiful surroundings and just to relax. So, you know, it was a spiritual retreat. It was also a relaxing vacation. I was a little sad to leave myself because, like you said, when you're in those beautiful surroundings, we had 80-degree weather, we had palm trees. You know, it was a beautiful experience all the way around. And I'm waiting for you to put out the list so I can sign up for next year.
All right. Well, anyone else want to speak on it?
Yeah, I was going to say that it was a wonderful experience. And like I said before, that I couldn't have met, I met some of the kindest and most beautiful women. We all got along, and it was great scenery. The weather was good. I enjoyed being around the water. And I couldn't have spent my money more wisely. And I'll just put that out there.
All right. Anyone else? Maggie, Charlene?
Oh, I also want to throw in there, you mentioned, you know, everyone getting to the area and touring the Gullah Geechee. You also want to make sure that your tour is official, an official Gullah Geechee
yes.
tour.
Yes. Yes, that definitely makes a difference. We got lucky simply because I'm Black Womaniverse. We got lucky, and we got a tour done by Queen Klett herself. She doesn't normally, you know, do the tour for everyone, but I did arrange for us to have, you know, her as our guide for the tour. And she brought us quite a few things to our attention, the fact that when you go to, you know, indigenous locations and you do tours with them, one, that you don't take pictures without asking first, because you don't know what type of rituals and sacred events may be taking place. And that you need to ask, can you take a picture, or either wait for them to say, you know, you can take your pictures here or what have you. And then the other thing that she mentioned is that it's important that you get, as Lynn just said, an official tour. I went directly to Gullah Geechee to arrange a tour versus just getting a tour with anyone, because you'll have people who, you know, don't really know anything about Gullah Geechee. They just know where the area is, and they know where the locations of certain things are. But certain doors weren't going to come open unless you were with someone who is, you know, within the Gullah Geechee Nation. And more importantly, they weren't going to come open unless you were with her. We got a tour into a lot of locations there in St. Helena Island that normally would not have necessarily been available to us other than the fact that you were with Queen Klett herself. So I do want to put it out there that if you're going to go visit Gullah Geechee Nation or what have you, that you do get in contact with her, and they are on Facebook. They have several different websites, and I'll go ahead and give out the email. The best way to get in contact with them is Facebook. If you just pull up Gullah Geechee, and it's spelled G-U-L-L-A-H, Geechee is G-E-E-C-H-E-E, and you'll be able to find them on Facebook, and you can communicate with them there on Facebook. Either, you know, her assistant or someone else will, you know, respond to you and meet your need. But also make sure that you pull up Gullah Geechee Sea Island Coalition, because you can become a member there and you can help support their the cause of Gullah Geechee, through membership and things of that sort. They also have a website. If you Google Gullah Geechee, you will pull up, you know, most of the information on Queen Klett and the website. Or Gullah Geechee Nation, you can buy merchandise to support them. They have the most beautiful quilts, handmade quilts, and I mean they were wonderful. They were lovely quilts. So if you go on the website, you'll be able to find it. I believe it's GullahGeechee.net. But if you go on Facebook, you will be able to get it directly. And I do apologize. Hopefully everything is okay with Queen Klett. but we may have to schedule another time for her to appear. She was only going to have an hour to be with us tonight, so I will try to probably reschedule that time frame with her so that we can get her onto the air. So I'm hoping everything is you know, fine with her, so she's normally very punctual. So I will send some positive energy out there to make sure everything is fine and okay with her. Charlene, Magic, did y'all have anything that you wanted to say about the Gullah Geechee tour or the retreat itself?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, it's me, Charlene. I do. The when we were over by the praise house and we were standing in the circle.
Woo!
And, oh, my God, it felt like she was blessing us as queens.
Mm. Yes.
Couldn't help it. Very emotional. Very spiritual.
Very.
It was, whoo, girl, I was just, like, gone.
For a minute there, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm so glad you brought that up. For a minute there, I don't know why, but I tried to hold, I kept blinking, trying to hold back
my tears.
But when we were right there next to one of the praise houses, because there are several of them, but this one in particular, she was kind of narrating, you know, if you would have gone back to time during slavery, you know, how life was for our ancestors there in that area and, you know, a lot of other places. And she was narrating and kind of sort of talking about how they went about spiritual ways and praising and still incorporating the African traditions into what the Westerners call Christianity. It was just amazing. It was like just all of this emotion came up. It was, I can't really explain it. You can't put into words the experience with the tour overall and specifically that particular moment, but at a certain point, it just became overwhelming and just, you know, even though I had a smile on my face, just tears were just flowing. And when I looked around, every sister's face was like that.
Yeah, I started crying first. I was like, oh, God, I hope they don't see me. I was trying to blink it away, but it just wasn't working. Next thing I knew, everybody,
right,
I was like,
just,
hope I ain't starting nothing.
And go ahead.
No, I was going to say the cool thing about that moment was it wasn't anything that we were expecting, you know. It was
right.
Like, it was an unexpected spiritual time that, you know, we had together.
Yeah. We were there for a minute, and just looking at the building there with the praise house, this is one of the original buildings that had been there for, at this point, what, over 100 years possibly or more, you know. But, you know, I don't want to put a time stamp on it because she didn't really give us exact numbers or anything when we were there at the praise house. And I don't think anyone asked her that particular question. But, you know, that particular thing ain't necessarily all that important for this particular conversation. It's just the spirit and what we felt when we were standing right next to that praise house. And then looking at the praise house and her talking about the different upgrades that they made to it to try to keep, to restore it, because there was a point when people don't know that it is a sacred place, you know, people can vandalize it and things like that. So if other people who are not of Gullah Geechee and don't know what these things mean will come through and just think it's some old abandoned building and not understand what the, you know, what the building is and the sacredness of the building. So I thought that was very important for her to bring that out, and that's another reason why it's important that when you go on these tours that you get someone that is native to the area that can really tell you about the history, because it's their history. They actually care about what they're telling you, and they care about the spots that they're taking you to, and they have a connection with it. And that experience there, to me, was just amazing. Being in that area and then being next to the praise house and then the other locations, the farm that they have. I don't think she took us to the, you know, inside the farm, but we did ride by the farm and she showed us the different locations that are still owned and operated by, you know, Gullah Geechee. They had their own health center. It was just amazing, an amazing experience.
the health center that
I don't want
to. And you're empty, by the way.
Oh yeah, the health center was empty, and there were people there. There's a pharmacy in there for, you know, prescriptions and I guess herbal medication and things to be filled. But the fact was, it was pretty much empty. Empty because people don't need it, because they eat off of the land and they raise, you know, whatever meats that they do eat. You know, it's pretty much raised there. The food that they eat, it's grown there, you know. And really on a point, on a fact of nation building, if anyone really wants to talk about nation building, to me, that conversation can't be held without a Queen Quet in it, because this is something that she has experience in. Gullah Geechee is not just a nation just by saying it. They are actually a nation within the U.S. They have their own constitution. They are recognized by the United Nations as being a nation on their own, and Queen Quet is the head of state. She's a, you know, a female leader, a female head of state for this particular nation. So it was just amazing to be able to listen to her tell us, from one, you know, African American woman to another, about you know, the history and, you know, what our ancestors went through. And it was an immediate connection as she was talking in each location we went to. You know, and I cannot explain the amount of information that was shared with us that you do not find in any textbook. And Gullah Geechee has several books that Queen Quet herself has written, and other books that were written with herself in conjunction with other Gullah Geechee natives, that kind of sort of go through the history of Gullah Geechee and give a timeline as to how things happened. You know, the other thing that I found interesting is that the Gullah, which is the language, and she explained the difference between a language and a dialect. And she said that, I don't want to use her exact, you know, I may not get her exact word verbatim, but what she implied was that she told us about English, which I already knew English was not. American English is not a language. American English is a dialect. So no matter how much you try to speak correct or proper grammar, you're still using a dialect. English uses a lot of words that are borrowed from other languages. And if you're using words that are borrowed from other languages based on linguistics, it's a dialect. It's not a actual language. A language is, it may use some borrowed terms, but it's very few. But the English language uses a lot of Latin terms, a lot of French terms. You know, it uses a lot of terms that come directly from other languages, and it's pretty much the bulk of it is borrowed from British English. Or, you know, American English is not its own language, so that's the point I'm trying to make. But she also made the point to say that Gullah Geechee, the Gullah dialect, is distinct to the people that were in that area, and the Gullah corridor stretches from Wilmington, North Carolina, down to Jacksonville, Florida. So all of those islands that are in between, you know, Wilmington, North Carolina, and Jacksonville, Florida, all of those islands, all of those sea islands, and she said it was, you know, quite a bit of them, but some of them are so small that they don't really look at them as official islands because they're like 10 acres. They have to be, if they're less than 10 acres, they don't really recognize it as an actual island. They don't call it habitable because it's not larger than 10 acres. But she said it's over 1,000 islands there. Some of them, because they don't recognize them as actual islands due to the size, they go on, you know, unrecognized. Like when you pull up a map, you may not see them there, but they are there. So, and she indicated that their language was, it is an official language. And so by them having their own official language, and then, you know, the U.S. recognizing, you know, because of her activism and others' activism on behalf of Gullah Geechee. So, you know, by their activism, the U.S. had to pretty much put it on the books that they had a separate language, not a dialect, but an actual language, and that this was their particular area that I, you know, just previously mentioned called the Gullah Geechee Corridor. And by doing so, you know, that really gives credence to the history and the heritage that that the Gullah Geechee Nation teaches others about their culture, and it gives credence to a lot of things. So on the topic of nation building, to me, from that respect, you cannot have a conversation or a viable conversation without consulting someone such as Queen Quet, who has done it and has put in the time for the people of the Gullah Geechee Nation when it comes to nation building. That, to me, is outstanding. And, you know, hats off to her for doing that and being steadfast in it. She's a very smart and articulate woman. She's a mathematician. You know, I could go on and on, but really going down to St. Helena Island and getting the tour by Gullah Geechee natives and being taught from them and hearing the story from them rather than an outsider, you really get the overall tone of everything that happened from an indigenous or a native perspective. So I really appreciated that, and I'm pretty sure the other sisters did as well.
Absolutely.
All right, we have someone else on the line. Let me try to check this out. We have a caller from a private number. Could you let us know who you are?
This is Queen Quet.
Hey,
peace and blessings.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am great. I'm great. Thank you for taking time out to call in tonight.
Yes, I just got back in.
All right. Well, since you are on the line, we're going to go ahead and get right into this then. Could you give us, well, did I ask you how you were doing?
Yeah,
I got all excited and completely forgot everything. So before I ask anything else, how are you tonight? How are you feeling?
Quite well, me to do plenty good. How are you going to do this evening?
I'm wonderful now that you are
thank
on the line.
God. Thank God. Thank you.
All right. Now, could you give us some background on who are the Gullah Geechee?
Well, first, from plenty of time, people are noticing it, encounter we and things like that, when they Yeti, we don't crack, we teach so and things like that, and they Yeti them before. So a lot of times the first encounter that people have is when they first meet one of us and they actually hear our language, which most people will say they had not heard prior to that. The Gullah Geechees are African descendants that live from Jacksonville, North Carolina, to Jacksonville, Florida, on the southeastern coast of the United States, sitting in the Atlantic Ocean, are the Sea Islands, and then 30 to 35 miles inland to the St. John's River. And so this entire region is the Gullah Geechee Nation, and many people who might have read about it historically or geographically will know that it's called the Sea Islands and also the Low Country, because we are technically below the sea level. But our ancestors are those who were from anywhere from the Senegambia region down to Angola, and even some from Madagascar, that were enslaved on the Sea Islands and in this region during the transatlantic slave trade.
All right. Now, I guess my next question is going to be, you know, who is Queen Quet, and how did you become an activist, and how did you get the title Queen Quet?
Well, first and foremost, I consider myself the artivist, because I do my activism through art and history presentations. And so in terms of how do you become that, there's no roadmap to that. I feel like there are just certain people who are more cognizant of what's happening in their surroundings and want to make a difference that will be a more positive outcome for those surroundings. And I feel like the people that do that are not prone to just sit back and then, you know, complain or say to someone else, somebody else ought to do something. They're the folks that go ahead and say, well, something needs to be done, and let me see what I need to do something about it. And so in terms of picking it, it's not like it's a career where you would just say, oh, I want to be an activist. I don't really think I've met anybody who's considered an activist that just said, well, you know, since I was five, I wanted to be an activist because it doesn't pay well. Okay, so I don't know people who aspire to it, but what ends up happening is I believe there's just a divine path that you're on, that you realize that you are the one who's supposed to be the voice. And so I have been doing this work now 32 years to make sure that people were well aware of this, of our culture and the land situation. I've been raising funds for people to remain on their land and doing everything from festivals to petitions and so on for a long time at this, so I'm not new to it at all. And in terms of having the position as the first Queen Mother and elected head of state and spokesperson for all Gullah Geechees worldwide, I've had this position since 2000, and this is my second term as the head of state and Queen Mother for Gullah Geechees. And I became elected to this position, and again, I say this is not something that someone I would believe would be born to say, oh, this is what I want to do, if they really understood what it entailed. A lot of people hear the title queen and they want that title, but they don't understand the respect that has to come with it, nor the responsibility. So R&R is not rest and relaxation. It's respect and responsibility when you carry the title queen, because it's not for you to sit down, as we have been given that misinterpretation in Western society through fairy tale books. It's not for you to sit down next to some man you're married to and then people just dote on you. It's actually to serve your community and to make sure the needs of the people are met. And so, interestingly enough, in 1999, when I went to the United Nations for the first time, and I'm just coming back now, I just got back yesterday from a journey around the world, essentially, that included being at the United Nations again. And one of the things that took place right after that was that I was approached by elders throughout this whole region, from Florida to North Carolina, saying, well, if we come together as one group of people and we need a leader, we need someone to lead, will you be willing to be that person? And, you know, whether we're not sure what the title will be yet, if it's president, if it's, you know, we know it's going to be the person that's spokesperson, and it's going to be head of state because our people need this before they annihilate us and totally destroy our culture along this coast and replace it with golf courses and museums and whatnot. So I said, well, I don't need a title. What is it y'all need done? Okay, my people are very direct. Their answer, we didn't ask you that. We asked you, if we come together, we do all this, will you lead? So my response then was, you're right, you didn't ask me that. If God ordains it and the people want this, of course there's nothing else that I'd be able to do. So then a one-year election took place from 1999 to 2000, and in 2000 my installment ceremony took place at Sullivan's Island, which is where over 40% of all Africans enslaved in America came through. And so we did it there because of the significance with our ancestors, but also because that is U.S. federal property, so that it could be public, it could be open, it could be in a position that the United States government was fully aware of what was taking place, and so that they knew that there would now be an official spokesperson and head of state for Gullah Geechees, and that the Gullah Geechees themselves were declaring their homeland as a nation of their own so that they could have their own constitution and laws. And so that's the really Reader's Digest version of what took place to get me to the position I'm in and that I hold. And it's truly a blessing because although you don't get much rest and relaxation, there are many people who have come to respect the position and to respect the work that's been done that has truly turned the tide for our culture and kept it going.
Definitely. I thank you for all the work that you have, you know, that you have put in on behalf of Gullah Geechee Nation, because it's truly amazing, amazing things that have been done. Now, I do want you to explain to us how, you know, give us the websites for Gullah Geechee, how we can support Gullah Geechee. You know, just give that information out for the listeners, because we definitely need to support Gullah Geechee.
We truly appreciate it, too, and especially you already started with the support by even having this show tonight, and I greatly appreciate it on behalf of the entire nation, because there's so many people who will tell me they never heard of us. I just had a brother the other day, 2 days ago, say that, and he, too, wanted to know how to support us. Well, one way, which you would know, I know, my sister, is that the Gullah Geechee Nation does have a Facebook page, also a MySpace page, and a Twitter link. So they're all under Gullah Geechee Nation, and Gullah Geechee is G-U-L-L-A-H / G-E-E-C C-H-E-E. If you see I-E, that is not a Gullah Geechee person that is writing that. That is usually someone that is non-Gullah Geechee that is writing that, and it's usually some type of tourist trap. So make sure G-E-E-C-H-E-E, and then the word nation. And so you'll find us on all of those, and you can definitely get day-by-day, blow-by-blow information on the Gullah Geechee Nation fan page and our Twitter, which is under Gullah Geechee. And then you can also go to www.gullahgeechee.net, gullahgeechee.net, and that is the website for the Gullah Geechee Sea Island Coalition, which is the premier organization for advocacy on Gullah Geechee culture. And you can become a member. We have annual membership dues. We also have lifetime membership for those who would like to join for a lifetime and help with advocacy, education, the land rights, human rights, and also the celebration of accurate presentations of the story of Gullah Geechee people. And so we have a variety of things, and we also have a monthly e-zine that all members receive, discounts and so on. If people would like to get books and CDs, because many times after, you know, we've had a dialogue, people say, well, wow, I want to support another way. Can I get books? Can I get CDs? We also have quilts, as you know, cast nets and various other handmade items by Gullah Geechees at www.gullahgeechee.biz, gullahgeechee.biz. And also, if anyone wants to come here and tour or do educational workshops or be able to work in the community, like we have a large alternative spring break program, then people should go to gullahgeechee.biz, and you can click and see some of what's available there as well. So if you want to just go to the general Gullah Geechee Nation website, it is www.officialgullahgeechee.info. So officialgullahgeechee.info. And for our Gullah Geechee Nation International Music and Movement Festival, which moves to different parts of the Gullah Geechee Nation and African diaspora every year, and you can learn a great deal. It's not just a celebration with a bunch of dancing and singing music, but you actually get to interact with the people. We have a lot of libation ceremonies. We support the businesses of our people in the communities. We have lectures. We have dialogues. So for that, you can go to www.gullahgeechee.info, and so that you can get information each year on where we're going. This year, it's August 5th through the 7th in New Orleans, and it's called Gullah Geechee, the Drum, the Gwine, Congo Square, because we will spend that weekend in both New Orleans and Donaldsonville, Louisiana, reconnecting the Geechees there with their kinsfolk from here. And we'll also
what
be giving
that
out
last website practice. That you gave out?
It's www.gullahgeechee.info. So you got .info, .net, .biz, all with just Gullah Geechee, and then the other is officialgullahgeechee.info, and all starting with www. So we'll keep you busy online now. And if you want to.
Not a problem.
Definitely. And for those who are into YouTube, as well as Blog Talk, you can always go to YouTube and put in Gullah Geechee TV or put in Queen Quet, and Quet is Q-U-E-T, and you will find the Gullah Geechee TV station on there, and you can watch shows every week that keep you abreast of what's going on and a lot that teaches about our story as well as the current movements underway.
All right, let's see. Now, had quite a few questions. Now,
I'm
in terms of, I'm sorry.
I said, I'm sure you do.
Yes. Now, I want you to explain to our listeners how important it is that when they do come to St. Helena Islands and they want to tour and get information on Gullah Geechee, what is the importance of getting connected with Gullah Geechee Nation on Facebook or MySpace and Twitter to make those connections versus just getting a tour from someone who says they can give you a tour of Gullah Geechee Nation?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'm really glad that you asked that, because I just recently even saw some articles that came to me on Google that were written by mainstream newspapers telling people where they should go to learn about Gullah Geechee culture. And these are places that are owned by the U.S. federal government. They're owned by the state of South Carolina and various places like that, or by individuals that are running the tours who are not Gullah Geechee and who want to tell a story that leaves out the hardships of the transatlantic slave trade, that leave out the true history of what took place on plantations and uprisings that took place there as well, and that definitely will not get into discussions with you about nationhood or nation building or land ownership. And so it is critical that when people contact us, don't contact us because you're already down here, or contact us saying, well, I'm on the highway driving to you now, where are you? We get those kind of phone calls in our headquarters office. We figured you'd have a festival today. It's a Wednesday. I'm on my way there. That's not going to work. If you go ahead and get in touch with us through any of those mechanisms we mentioned earlier, at least 3 weeks ahead of time, then you have people being able to be prepared for you to come to their house, essentially. Just think about it, how you would feel if people just popped up at your doorstep at midnight, you know, and you were in your bed asleep. That's how we feel when people just call us the day that they arrive and say, hey, well, what y'all doing? And, you know, and so the thing is, people feel that way, though, because brochures are out there, chambers of commerce are out there that are promoting a form of tourism that regurgitates the same old story that's a Hollywoodized version of plantation life. And so they would rather you spend money, and people do it to the tunes of millions of dollars a year. People are taking tours that are given by non-Gullah Geechee people, and then they don't learn anything about our culture, and they definitely don't end up spending any money in the Gullah Geechee Nation economy because they never come to any of the businesses that we own, because those other places promote non-Gullah Geechee-owned institutions and buildings and businesses, restaurants, and so on, wherein if you come directly to us and ask us anywhere from North Carolina, Florida, where should I go? Which tour company should I go with? Where should we eat? Where should we stay? Then you would be able to have a full Gullah Geechee experience given to you by natives of our community. And because, as we say, the big fish are nyampa, the leaf fish and things like that. And so you have a lot of huge conglomerates that are taking everything from the everyday person. And so if you come directly to us, we then connect you directly with the real people who live this culture and are doing everything every day to keep their culture and their community alive.
All right. Now, while we were doing the tour with you, I found out a little late. I guess I could have asked before I came. But I found out that you are able, the Gullah Geechee Nation is able to host family reunions and retreats, and that you make products. You know, you talked about the veggie patties, some body care products. Can you get into the actual products and wares and accommodations that the Gullah Geechee Nation offers to people who want to actually come down and support Gullah Geechee and have that official experience with you?
Well, there are a lot of different things. You mentioned a plethora of them. I mean, everything from weddings to educational ventures to family reunions to retreats of all kinds. People who are involved in environmental movement come here for retreats, and we host them, as well as women's retreats of various kinds and people of color retreats and so on. And so we have those things available. We've done a lot of different libation ceremonies as well, a lot of different types of African reconnection activities that we have. We host conferences and so on. So we have facilities that range in size, and there are places, there are either hotels or bed and breakfasts or housing that are Gullah Geechee owned or are directly affiliated with partners of ours that also contribute to the work that's going on, and those are the places that we recommend for people to stay. And of course, you mentioned with products, everything from quilts to sweetgrass baskets to clothing to spices for food, as well as the veggie patties and the Low Country Cooking label with various types of food, and also seafood as well as sweet potatoes, tomatoes, okra and tomatoes that are jarred. All of these are things that our people produce, and that are sold. We have the Gullah Geechee Nation flag and various other items, then T-shirts, things like that, that are produced here as well by people in the community. And so that way when you purchase these things, even books and CDs and dolls, all of that money goes right back into the infrastructure and economy of Gullah Geechees, and it helps people to stay on their land because no nation can survive without being economically sound. Just look at the U.S. right now and think about it. Okay, so you have to have your own way of having cash flow. And so definitely there is any range of activities that we can customize for any different size group. We tend to not consider the group at the Gullah Geechee Sea Island Coalition until you have at least 7 people. Prior to that, it's not a group. It's like you and your friends or you and your family. So at least 7 or more we tend to do things for. But if people are just coming as a solo or a couple, they can still contact us and we can direct them to places to stay, places they may want to go. And we also do customized itineraries for groups or individuals, and most times we do those for the individuals that just want to travel around and do things for a day. But if they want to be here for multiple days, then generally they will go ahead and book everything through us, and then we can get them situated so that we can make sure that they are well taken care of and not falling into tourist traps while they're here, and make sure that they get quality items and things that are going to benefit the community in the long run.
All right. Now, I recall us having a question in reference to the Gullah Geechee, how you have a constitution and you have, like I said, your actual nation. You're not just saying you're a nation. You are,
right.
You are a nation. Can you get
exactly.
into that and talk about the citizenship and how that, you know, how that affects a person of that is Gullah Geechee?
Well, a person that's Gullah Geechee, it's their birthright that they can have dual citizenship in the Gullah Geechee Nation and the United States. We were not even going to think about relinquishing any of our rights in the United States because if it were not for our ancestors, there would be no United States. So there's a great deal that our blood, sweat, and tears have given to build this land, and we were not going to have that just taken back. And so definitely that's one aspect, and in our Constitution it lines out everything as far as citizenship goes, as well as my position and that of the Wisdom Circle Council of Elders and the Assembly of Representatives, which are other divisions of the government of the Gullah Geechee Nation. Now, we own land, and our land, as I mentioned, was from Jacksonville, North Carolina to Jacksonville, Florida, most of the Sea Islands, and then 30 to 35 miles inland onto the mainland. And so we have a definable boundary of our nation as well with land ownership and where our culture is indigenous to this land. It grew out of this soil. It is the amalgamation of various African traditions that grew up here. It did not start another place and then just get replanted. It actually became a brand new culture on this land. And so with all of those things, the leadership, the boundaries, the land ownership, and a sustained culture, these are defining factors when you are recognized internationally as a nation. And in regard to our stand as a nation, we are also considered in international human rights law a linguistic and ethnic minority. A linguistic and ethnic minority. There are also religious minorities, but we are a linguistic and ethnic minority, and thereby the United States being a member state of the United Nations was supposed to protect us specifically due to the fact that we are a linguistic and ethnic minority, and which I heard you mentioning in the introductions about the Gullah Geechee Cultural Heritage Act, which took over 9 years of my life to fight for shoulder to shoulder with Congressman James Clyburn to educate a lot of people to actually get that law passed. And it's kind of interesting how many people now want to stake claim to it or want to say they're working for it when they were nowhere around to be found when it took the activism you mentioned in the beginning to even get it going. In fact, they stood on the sidelines and told other people that they thought I was completely insane to think that the U.S. government was going to ever acknowledge the existence of Gullah Geechee culture when they themselves, in fact, were saying, we ourselves don't want to be called Gullah anymore. We don't want to deal with that, so why would anybody else? But fortunately, they're not God, and God had a different plan, and God sent me directed me in regard to that plan so that we knew what legal measures we needed to take to have a full acknowledgement that we are an ethnic minority of this soil that they call the United States, and that they recognize that the Gullah Geechee Nation is its own territory. And so we have had this already outlined with the Department of the Interior, and right now there is a general management plan being written. Creator Willing will be finished this year, and then will become the rule of thumb that the U.S. federal government would use in regard to their corridor that runs through the nation. But the nation will still remain with its constitution overall, because that protects the entire human rights and land rights of Gullah Geechees, wherein the general management plan will be limited in its structure and what it can do, and because everything has to do with funding and other things politically. And so it is a critical thing, as you were mentioning at the beginning, that I've heard many people use this term nation, or people talk about nation building, nationhood, but it's critical for people to understand you have no land, you have no nation. You have no land, you have no nation. When you have land, you can feed your people and you can empower your people. And so we need to make sure that we think about that when we start using those words. And we used to have a statement, it's nation time. Well, it definitely is that time, but we need to understand there's work in it when you have land, too.
Definitely. Now, I wanted you, since we were speaking about land, I wanted you to talk about the importance of land and staying linked to your people, your family, and your culture, and what can happen if someone is a quote, weak link in that chain, or because they're not connected, they don't see the importance of, you know, family land that they have way in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, or Florida when they're in, you know, Washington State. You know, what happens
yes.
if that person is not connected and doesn't know the importance of that land their family has a right to, that they no longer see any importance to? What happens?
Right, what happens, more often than not, and many people may have read in various newspaper articles about heirs' property, battles that are going on in the South, and especially here in the Gullah Geechee Nation, but then they don't realize actually what that means. And so one of the crucial things is that during the Civil War, there were many of our people that purchased, hear me and hear me well, purchased at auctions the very same lands that they were enslaved on. They were not given these lands. They bought them. And so those who had been given land grants, many of them got those land grants taken back at the end of the Civil War. So many of our ancestors purchased their land, and at the end of the deeds would have their name, the husband, wife's name, all the children, all the grandchildren, anybody they raised, all of their names on there, and the last thing would say, and their heirs. Well, the heirs were all of us in perpetuity that would come forth from that lineage. Well, what has happened is that some of the people who've come forth from that lineage is that cousin you just mentioned that's out in the state of Washington, or is in Washington, D.C., or is in New York City, they're in Chicago, they're in Iowa, they're somewhere other than the coastline. They never came here. They weren't born here. They couldn't care less. So their parents may have been born here, but their parents decided, oh, no, I want to live somewhere else, and I'm not looking back. So their children and the children's children never knew that there was a value in land ownership, because wherever they're living, they're many times renting or they have mortgages. So they've never understood about direct land ownership. So now when the elder in the family passes away and there is no will that has given any type of clearance to who gets what, and there's no clear land title now because this land has been passed down and down and down, you have a cousin who may have a 1% interest in 10 acres of land, and a lawyer will hunt until they find that one family member that has no interest in the land and tell them, well, I'll give you $1,000, $5,000 for this piece of land somewhere in South Kakalaki. And the person's like, oh, really? Yeah, well, if that's real money, I'll take it. They have no idea what this land is. They'll even say, well, aren't you relatives of so-and-so? Yeah, some cousins. I met them at a reunion or whatever, but what they got to do with this, let me just, you know, what I got to do to get the money. Oh, all you got to do is sign right here. Person signs over that same one interest. Now this individual now has an interest in the land holdings of family members that live on that 10 acres of land. This stranger shows up wanting to buy the rest of the land. Family lives there is not going to sell. But because this individual has one percent interest, they can now tell these people, either you're going to sell me the land or you're going to have to buy me out. And now they can come up with exorbitant prices, $100,000, $1 million to buy me out. These people are like, you got to be insane because this is not even your land. They'll end up in court. They end up in court, and a judge feels that there can be no decision made between the parties on their own. The judge forces what they call a partition sale, and now everybody has to move off and sell the land and split up the money from the land. Most times the state gets a huge chunk of that money, and, of course, any real estate lawyers involved get the next huge chunk, and then whatever lawyer you had taking you to court or doing any paperwork most times gets the rest of it. So the family members now that have been living on this land for generations are all put off because you have one person who had no concern to even stay connected to their family or to at least say, well, somebody's going to approach me about something where I know my family was from, that maybe I need to at least talk to my family that's down there and make sure what is this stranger doing or this lawyer doing approaching me, and I'm way out here in someplace else, instead of just going ahead and figuring, well, the quick buck, this was some money I didn't expect, so let me just take it. And we've had many families where the entire family ended up off the property and the lawyers ended up with all the property because the lawyers put a lien on the families for the legal fees. And now when the lawyers got the property, the lawyers sold it to who caused the forced partition sale in the first place, because it's usually a destruction company that others call development companies that caused this whole thing to start up anyway.
Wow, it's definitely important that you keep in contact with family for more than one reason, but specifically for the purpose of before you sign any paperwork with tied to any land or any rights that you may have, that you may be entitled to as an heir. Do your research, get connected before you sign any papers, because money, you cannot put a price on things, especially when it comes to land.
Absolutely.
You cannot put a price on that. There's no price. $10,000 is nothing compared to 20 people being displaced and you losing, you know, the land that has been with your family for ages, you know, so... Definitely do research on that. Now,
and the thing about it, as long as you have land, if you pitch a tent on it, you still have a place to sleep. But when you don't own anything, you just got to keep it moving.
Exactly. And, you know, ironically, a lot of our people have gotten, you know, in that situation that you just described, because
Definitely. A
lot of us don't know the importance of land ownership.
Right.
Now, I have a couple more questions for you. I'm going to be respectful of your time because I know you have very important things to do, and I don't want to, you know, hold you too long. But like I said, I thank you for taking your time out to be with us here tonight. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to say thank you again for being able to do the tour for us. I mean, having you do the tour for us was so, so very important, and the connection we made. And, you know, with all the sisters there, we were just talking about that. We're still in awe of, you know, everything being there, feeling the spirit of the land and just getting that, you know, getting that information directly from you. Thank you.
Well, I
thank
y'all for coming. I enjoyed the day with you. And, I'm a firm believer in divine order and the timing that you all were able to connect with me in the midst of my world tour was definitely divinely ordered, because had it been a day earlier or a day later, that wouldn't have taken place. So I was very happy that we were able to connect, and then even more so to know that you didn't just come to take in what you could that day, but that you wanted to take things back and share it with the rest of the world as we're experiencing here tonight with your program. So we truly appreciate you all being there and enlightening others, and it is definitely something to give thanks for, that you all were able to absorb the energy and really respect that it was there to embrace you. So I pray that you all have gotten a lot of blessings from being able to walk our sands here.
You know, we were just earlier, before you came on, we were talking about that experience we had next to the Praise House.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And how, you know, while you were, you know, speaking to us and kind of, you know, giving us an experience that our ancestors, you know, had while being at that very location that we were standing on, you know, at first, I don't know why, but I tried to hold back tears, and all of a sudden, everything, all of this emotion just started to take a hold of me, and it just, it was a good experience, and it was overwhelming just to be there, you know, and to connect like that. And one of the sisters wanted me to ask you, she said, I feel so crazy asking her this, but I'm not going to call you out, sis, but I'm going to tell her to say it. She said, ask her, did she feel something? What was she feeling right then? Because all of us, I just looked around, and all of us had tears flowing everywhere.
Well, see, that's the thing. One is you have to realize in my position, there's a lot of things that come through me for others. That's the first thing. So to say what was I feeling in that moment when it's way after that moment would be difficult to give real respect to it. But also, I live on this land every day. So it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't bring forth. I would be walking around crying every second of every moment if I had to just, you know, sit there in the same manner. I know what other people are feeling, and I can look in their faces, and I can tell, and I can read a lot of things on a lot of people all the time, but especially when they're walking this sand. And the thing about it is it's only those who are truly spiritually open that come here with a respect for what it is that the Creator has sent them to get that have the experience you all have had. We have also had people have an opposite experience. I've had people come here to exploit, and those people didn't leave here in very good health, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there, it's all about where your spirit is as well and what you're receiving. And so for me, at any given moment, it's simply to be the open vessel to give to the group that I'm hosting that which the spirit says this is for them. That the Creator says this is for this person and may not even be for the rest of the group that's there, but this is for this person or this is for all of them that are here. And so sometimes those messages are very powerful in a positive way, and sometimes they're messages people point blank wish they never heard, but the Spirit said tell them because it's for them. And so there's a time and a place for everything, we've always been taught here. And so it is always that sacred moment. That's why, you know, we let you know, no pictures, no videotaping, no audio taping. Everything is about connecting so that you fully experience and feel the spirit. So for me, I can guarantee you I was at a point of peace because I can remember distinctly each one of your faces, and I remember distinctly when the tears, certain people's tears started flowing down the sides of their faces. And I also felt the energy of how folks were withholding. And I was like, you know, and Spirit's like, yeah, those are not allergies. I was like, yeah, I got it, you know. And so this type of thing. So, you know, but you have to realize in my position on any given day, I may have to deal with from 100 to 1,000 people in one day. And so I have to also, I have a, one might call it a arm that, you know, armor that protects me from taking in all the energies that's in a space at exactly the same time when there's groups around because of that. So that space of peace, definitely, I can guarantee her, is what I was in the midst of while I was also able to connect to and see for myself what it was that was coming into the beings of each of you that was standing there.
Wow, beautiful, absolutely beautiful experience. I definitely will be coming back and hopefully staying a lot longer in the Gullah Geechee, in St. Helena Islands to be exact. let's see, it was two other things that I felt were very important that I want the listeners to get and understand. Now, we talked about a lot during this tour that we did while we were in Gullah Geechee and in the Gullah Geechee Nation. But there are two things I want to make sure that we point out and we highlight specifically, because I feel it's very important for the listeners to understand this. And those two things are, you know, we talked about Harriet Tubman. And we learned a lot. I mean, I had done my own research on about Harriet Tubman, thought I knew everything, and then you just blew my head off some more. Harriet Tubman speaks to me on so many different levels for so many different reasons, and now I have a more clearer explanation as to why. Can you touch on some of the information, if you will, in reference to Harriet Tubman and how there's a Gullah Geechee connection with her?
Well, to give you somewhat of the Reader's Digest version of it, Harriet Tubman served in the 1st South Carolina Volunteer Regiment, which was stationed here and mustered into service here in Beaufort County, South Carolina, here in the Gullah Geechee Nation. So during the Civil War, she was both a nurse and a scout during the Civil War, and that's significant because this year is the sesquicentennial of the U.S. Civil War, the 150th anniversary of the U.S. Civil War, and until this moment, many people are unaware of her service as a soldier in the units. And because of her ability to do what one would call scouting and guerrilla warfare, it was her that crossed the Cumbie River, across which we have the only bridge in the United States and the world named for Harriet Tubman, to our knowledge, that we dedicated some 3 years ago. And it connects Beaufort and Colleton counties. And the Cumbie River that runs through there and under that bridge is where she went to find out more about the lay of the land and found out about the Confederate missiles that existed along there. She helped to free some 700 Gullah Geechee people that were still in bondage there and were unaware that the, as we say, a big shooting thing, been a start and things like that, but that the Civil War had actually begun and that this was an opportunity of their freedom, that they no longer had anyone there forcing them to stay in bondage. And so as a result, they ended up helping her to dismantle Confederate missiles that were along the Cumbie River. And so those things were brought back to Beaufort, to the Union side, because the Union had occupied this particular county where the Confederates had a stronghold in Charleston County. And so as a result of the work that she did, that truly turned the tide of the Civil War. And so it is critical for us to realize that, and more often not, the story of her life here and having even her own business here, a laundry co-op and a bakery here in Beaufort County, is not told, and especially the stories of women that served in the Civil War are not told, and she was a key soldier in it.
Wow. Now, you gave us the website where we could get some information on exactly what you're telling us now. Which website was that?
If you would go to www.nps.gov, www.npsnationalparkservice.gov, you can type in Harriet Tubman, and you'll find information on the Harriet Tubman study, which myself and many other historians and people who have been connected to Harriet Tubman in various ways, spiritually, and some family members of hers, worked diligently for many years now. It's about 10 years on that project as well, to get her legacy fully acknowledged. And so there is a national recognition now of her and her work, and there will be the Harriet Tubman Trail that runs from Auburn, New York, which of course is where she ultimately settled, through to Maryland, to Bucktown, Maryland, where she was born. And then there are also these satellite areas that people can come to learn more about her story. But definitely go to www.nps.gov and type in Harriet Tubman, and you can download documents as well as find out more about what is going on in the progress with it.
All right. Now, the last thing I'm going to ask you about is going to be, we touched on the transatlantic slave trade, obviously, because of,
yeah.
you know, the location and the history of it, obviously, who and what we
right.
are, obviously. That's the obvious thing that we're going to talk about. Now,
right.
it's important for our people to understand that when they selected slaves, they did not just go to the coast of Africa and just pick the group that was standing waiting for them.
Right.
Because
right.
nobody could be waiting for them. They were strategic. They knew who were trained, who was trained in what. Can you speak about that, you know, how certain
sure.
masons were selected, blacksmiths? Can you go into that and explain that to our listeners, because it's very important that we understand that as well?
Definitely, definitely. One of the things that more often not, I point this out on every single tour that I give, because more often not, people have this thing about, number one, using the term slave. And I always let people know that term we should not be using. We need to be very clear that our ancestors were enslaved Africans. They were not slaves, because that continues to perpetuate stripping them totally of their entire humanity, their culture, their dignity, their intellect, and everything else. And that was the process of enslavement, to try to do that to individuals, because they did not want you to realize that, such as the case with Gullah Geechees, that Angolans, for instance, were the first groups of Africans kidnapped and captured and brought to this region that's now the Gullah Geechee Nation. And why were they selected to be kidnapped? Because they had already been studied, and they realized that these individuals had blacksmithing skills, metalwork skills, as well as architectural skills. And so they kidnapped them to exploit those skills. And later on, they started to go to other regions such as the Windward Coast, Rice Coast, when they wanted to exploit certain types of agricultural crops such as the Carolina gold rice. So in various places, they wouldn't simply just take people. There was an entire part of the West African coast called the Magalita Coast for quite some time because of Magalita pepper. How did they know this? The people are coming from Europe. They are paying attention. Number one, they're doing trade with the Africans for many generations. Then they're realizing the things that are of value to the Africans, as well as what the Africans have that they're producing that is not produced in Europe. So now when the transatlantic slave trade is taken hold, then they want to find things that can be economically sound, that can be exploited. So the people themselves were sold and exploited, but then their knowledge was further exploited. And so the ability to, not just as we know was part of the process, to create breeders so that you could now have more and more and more people you could sell, but also to take those who had these types of skill sets, and many times depending on the skill set, there was more money that would be paid for an individual as a, quote, slave. So if I could enslave a blacksmith, that person I might have to pay $500 for, and then someone else I might only pay $200 for because they don't have the same skills. Instead, the other person is just a laborer. So this person can pick, you know, they can clean, they can chop, but they don't have these specified skills. So people from different regions were kidnapped based on the skills that they saw from that region and based on what they wanted to use them for. Because, of course, being called chattel, we were considered a item, like a cow, like a puppy,
mm-hmm.
like a shoe, like a bag of rice. And so, you know, we have to seriously look at these things, because today we have people who don't value their own skill set. There are many people
right.
who have had traditions like quilting passed down to them. They think it's not no consequence. They have boat making passed down to them. They don't think it a value. They can make jewelry. They don't really think it's a value until, you know, oh, it's a festival. I'll make some. I'll make a couple quick dollars. No, you need to look at and research your background and look at what kind of money somebody else made off of your ancestor that had that same skill that your collective consciousness and your DNA has you still continuing to do today. But you need to know that you need to no longer allow yourself to be exploited, because if you're exploited, it's like exploiting the whole family all over again and then re-enslaving everybody. So you have to respect the skills that we have, and amongst our own people, people of African descent, especially given that this is the International Year of People of African Descent, it is key that you're having this program because we need to make a difference this year. We need to know that our people have skills, have had skills, and we are the descendants of people who brought this in richness and abundance, and it is because of their knowledge, all right, and their labor and ability that there is an America, that most of the Americas could say they're rich and that they're built up today was on the backs of people with this kind of skill. And so we need to respect every moment and everything that we have the opportunity to produce for ourselves even today.
Thank you there. Thank you, because that's so important that we understand that. You mentioned knowledge. Now,
yes.
The one thing, and I'm going to sneak this one in before I let you go, because you brought up another valid point that I really want everyone to understand. How you said knowledge, and then I have to go back to something else you said earlier when I asked you about the nation and the citizenship for the Gullah Geechee Nation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing those two things up to get to this point. If they selected Africans to enslave based on skill set, then these Africans also brought knowledge and they brought their language, and they're coming from different areas. So multiple people coming from different areas with different languages, it's almost always thought or try to talk, you know, I can't even talk and get the tongue tied because I'm getting a little upset just thinking about
it. Go ahead. It's all right.
But it's almost as if when a lot of our people are taught in schools about slavery and about Africans being enslaved, they almost, oh, well, we have to go, the missionaries had to teach them how to read and had to teach them how to do this. And, you know, almost like they were, like our people were dumb, but yet you brought them strategically from certain locations to do certain things. So talk about that and how those different groups or tribes of our people played into the Gullah Geechee language, how that is a language and not a dialect, and what the difference is between those two.
Absolutely, absolutely. For instance, well, one of the cracky teeth now and thing like that, but the Madava and thing, or the true lake funny back and thing, back a Yona and thing, many people are the in our stand at tall and thing like that. Because now, yet it is other people, the cracky teeth, but then no more and thing. So, when one of them say, Gwan Yona, for Yeti, but this year, plenty of people are chicken and yes, because they ain't more Yeti this year. Because they'll say, oh, God, and then a hot. So, but look ya, where one of them know where one of them are from, then one of them know where one of them Gwan. If one of them know where Hunter is from, Hunter can't know where Hunter is going. And so, as I was saying to you, with all of what you're saying, is that today when people start to talk about enslavement and they talk about the beatings and being held by, as people would call them, slaveholders and so on, a lot of people don't want to hear about it. But if you don't know where you're from, you won't know where you're going. So Sankofa. So the key thing here is that in many cases, people did not want Gullah Geechees to appreciate and respect their language that you just heard because it was not the language of those who had enslaved them. English was, for the most part, and in some cases, French and Spanish. And so the language of the enslaver was what the enslaver wanted as the dominant language. Why? Because if I know what you're saying, I can control what you think. I can go forth and continue to give you information and then have you absorb it and have you regurgitate what I've given you. And so more often than not, when people will speak African languages, especially if they are in a westernized society or in the Americas, those African languages start to be demonized and denigrated, and people are told that they should get rid of them. In the case of the Gullah language, we have a dialect of Gullah, which is Geechee. Geechee essentially is a pidgin that is of the Gullah language. Now, Geechee is a bridge language between English and Gullah, so that those people who do not speak Gullah but that encounter a Gullah-speaking person could possibly, in context, understand what we're saying. So if I would say, gal, go on over yonder and get that thing and bring them back, y'all. Okay? That would be Geechee, because we're now taking loan words from English but putting them into the phonetic structure of an African language. And so when you talk about the Gullah language and our ancestors, the language is not from one particular place. It's from multi-regions along the western seaboard of Al-Kabulan, which we've been taught to call Africa today. So you
right.
have words and phrases, proverbs and various things that are all blended together to create the Gullah language, along with some Elizabethan English words, because at the time that the formation of our language took place in the 1600s, there were some words that didn't exist in different African languages. So we would have picked up the word from the one speaking Elizabethan English around us. And so you have, like, say, for instance, you may hear somebody say, "Don't they style VCR?" Right? And so it's because when Spanish first came into existence, a VCR didn't exist. But you know the rest of what they're saying in Spanish, right? So you have this bridging through the dialect Geechee, but Gullah is its own language. But what happens is that if you were to acknowledge that Gullah is a language, you then need to say, well, what tree does that language fit on? And it would be the African tree of languages, not the Germanic tree of languages where English sits. So now that means you need to give credence and respect to Africans for having created and maintained something of their own. Oh, no, so we can't do that. We got to say, do away with Gullah. Okay, they didn't do away with it? Okay, so then we're going to say then, no, it's just a dialect of English. It is not a dialect of English, because I have yet to find English speakers that when I speak Gullah to them, know what I'm saying. They have to be someone who knows Gullah or knows a West African language usually, or another cousin language of ours like Shrong from Suriname or Creole from the Windward Coast, West Coast of Africa, or even what they'll call Creole Patois, that is in many of the Caribbean islands, and so on, then they'll know what I'm saying. But someone else outside of our, you know, dialogue with one another still is standing there waiting just to listen for their name to make sure we ain't talking about them, you know. So there is that reality that we have to begin to respect, that African people brought value to the world wherever in the world that they were. So African people throughout the diaspora always have something that they have brought to their places and enriched people with. And if someone wants to do some more research on that, they can look even on YouTube. It'll take some work on YouTube, but we also have the links on the Gullah Geechee Nation Facebook page, if you can still find them. We have so many links there, to a British film called The Adventure of English. Prior to that documentary series, the U.S. had done something for PBS called The Story of English, which had Gullah in it, but they still weren't really given the full credence that when The Adventure of English came about, that it gave, that the American English actually took a lot from other people's languages, including Gullah, okay? That there are many words like okay and okra and many other words that you use in American English that you think is, oh, that's just English. No, it's Gullah.
And what was the name of that again? The Adventure of English.
Mm-hmm. And it was done by a British producer. So if you put in Adventure of English documentary, you'll find information on Google for it, and possibly you can directly link to the video. At one point, they were selling the series, and for those who are historians or lovers of languages, it is an outstanding documentary series to have in your possession to really, really see what happened with English when it encountered other people's languages, including the Gullah language.
Okay. Wow. I really would like everyone within the if you can hear my voice, it is just so important that you research and you go connect and go see for yourself what I experienced and what the other six sisters that were with us experienced. by taking the tour, connecting with the Gullah Geechee Nation and getting a authorized tour and supporting the business there. I had a question in the chat room earlier about the veggie patties that we got so excited about the tour, we forgot to stop back and get veggie patties.
Oh, you we did, and I thought y'all might forget.
Yeah, we sure did. I was just, we were all excited and talking about the experience. By the time I turned around, we back, you know, going back towards the other way, and I was like, wait a minute, veggie patties.
Yeah, and you were trying to make another outing, too. So that's probably why your focus was on trying to go ahead and get going. And I said, I bet you they passed right on by there and forgot to get their veggie patties, and y'all did.
We did, but that's okay.
That's just the way things
can be.
That give you a reason to come back now.
Not a problem. can the veggie patties be shipped by any chance?
I would need to check with our South Carolina Coastal Community Development Corporation because I know that we currently ship out other products from the Southern Low Country Cooking label. So I believe the veggie patties are almost at that point where they're available to be able to be shipped out. I don't think that they are right at that point right now because they are a brand new product to the market, less than a year that they have been out on the market here, and so they're a specialty and somewhat of a delicacy for you to get when you come to St. Helena Island right now and go to Gullah Grub Restaurant. But I will definitely be able to keep you abreast of when it is available to be shipped out because many of the Southern Low Country Cooking Label products are available now in Harris Teeter and Piggly Wiggly stores, and even the military uses them in some of the commissaries. And so if you would email me to gullgeeco@aol.com, gogeeco@aol.com, then we can definitely keep you abreast of it. But if you are going to come here to the Gullah Geechee Nation, just make sure you bring a cooler, and so that way you can always purchase them and many of the other things that I mentioned as well to be able to take back. And trust me, we've had a few different tour companies that have supported us over the years at the Gullah Geechee Sea Island Coalition that have come. And the first year I remember a group arriving, they waited till they got here. And when they went on tour, and when I told them what was in the field, they were like, oh, well, you know the sweet potatoes? Can we buy sweet potatoes? I said, yeah, you can buy the sweet potatoes. We sell them by the bushel. But how many bushels do you want? Because we dig them to sell them. They're not just sitting out in the open. We dig them and then sell them so they're fresh. And they wanted something like 3 bushels of the sweet potatoes when it all boiled down. Then they wanted all of these pounds of shrimp that they wanted. So it was like 50 pounds of shrimp, 3 bushels of sweet potatoes and all. So I'm like, and how long are y'all going to be here? Oh, well, we're going to leave out in like a day and a half. So now you are talking about seriously going to work, getting folks catching these shrimps, getting these shrimps bagged up in 1-pound bags to make sure nobody feels they're shorted so that everybody gets this exact, just how much are you paying for? Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bags for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bags for this next one. 6 for you, 4 for this one. And then having to dig these potatoes, and digging sweet potatoes is truly a lot of work on your back and your arms and everything. And so we have had the gamut of things. So when folks come down, the next time that group came with the bus, they knew to tell us in advance, and trust me, they had a whole side of that bus, it looked like, where it was nothing but coolers underneath there so that they could take back various products from here, especially the seafood that they wanted to take back, and of course they wanted more than veggies. So when we say it's fresh here, it's fresh for real.
Yeah, because I would definitely be prepared the next time I come, because I would definitely be back, and I will get some of the, you know, low country seasonings and everything.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to, you know, to see. We got a chance, only because we were with you again, we got a chance to see inside of the, what was the building you took us into, your new constructed building where the kitchen.
Oh, into the South Carolina Coastal Community Development Corporation, into our food center.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got a chance to go in, through the back door, literally, so that you could get a peek inside. And then we also have our business incubators there and everything else for the island. So, yeah, there were a number of different places that we got a chance to, get a peep in and see some things. And anyone that comes on tours with me, they know that each time that they come, there's something different. Because I'm a person that doesn't like to be bored, number one, so I'm not about to bore anybody else. But definitely it gives more opportunities for people to spend more time, see more things. And when folks go around with me, it's not going to be the same as you coming and just doing what I call a drive-by. Because, as I mentioned, many people will come to the island, but they won't want to contribute to the economy of the island. So they feel like they can come on their own and just have a map, and then they drive, and they end up driving right through. But they don't get to have the opportunity to see from the inside like you all had a chance to do. And we really prefer for people to come and, of course, let us welcome you into the house instead of you kind of sneaking in on your own and sneaking back out, you know. And so definitely it was outstanding to be out there that morning and then have them peep out and see that it was me. And then they were like, well, Queen, you won't come in? I was like,
wow,
sure, why not? So, because otherwise I let them go and do their work. But folks tend to do that. If they see it's me, it's like, oh, you coming in, right? I'm like, okay, sure, I'm coming on in. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the sisters just made a comment in the chat room about the cornbread. Oh, my gosh. The cornbread, when we went into the center that she was just mentioning, oh, my gosh, the cornbread was heavenly. It just smelled heavenly. I mean, he was talking to us, and I absorbed everything he was saying, but I also absorbed the sweet-smelling fume of gonna be
cornbread.
And, yes, I was like,
oh, yeah.
It smells so good.
You was about to hurt yourself.
Definitely. But I definitely will be back down there, and I will get in contact, with Gullah Geechee Nation before I come, because I will definitely try to get some of the veggie patties and anything else I can take back home with me. The meal we had was outstanding. You know, the similar to jollof rice. Was that jollof rice that we had?
It was red rice. We just call it red rice, but it is similar to jollof rice. In many places, people do, when many of our family folks come from West Africa, they're like, oh, you made the jollof rice. So we call it red rice. This jollof rice! And I'm like, yeah, same thing. Then they're like, yeah, same thing, you know. And
it's
so
good
we
rice.
Those
it's
things
good rice.
The term. Yeah, yeah, but, you know,
yeah,
rice, of course, is still a staple here.
Yes, yes. So definitely get in contact with Gullah Geechee Nation if you are going to be in that area, plan a tour, you know, support the businesses there. There's a clothing store there for the, you know, for the ladies, for the sisters that want to have some, you know, nice looking fits. I purchased quite a few things. Me, Lynn, and I think it was just me and Lynn when we went shopping in the store there. Oh, yeah, we did.
Excellent.
But, yeah, lovely. So I had a wonderful experience. Thank you so much for, you know, welcoming us and giving us the tour, and definitely for taking your time out today to sit and chat with us and tell us all about, Gullah Geechee. And if I could, I have one more thing.
Go ahead. I figured somebody else would hit you up with another question before it was time to wrap up.
Yes. Now, the thing I ran into when I first started looking at the history of Gullah Geechee, of the Gullah Geechee Nation, was that you come across a lot of information, as you stated earlier, that's written the way they want to tell it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You told us how Gullah Geechee became, you gave us your, the experience directly from a native in Gullah Geechee, how, there were enslaved Africans and, that how it led up to the Union Army and the Civil War. Could you get into that before we end the show tonight so that everyone can understand that from the Gullah Geechee perspective?
Well, in terms of the Civil War, many times, just like you mentioned earlier about people sort of just coming along and acting like folks just, you know, came like, oh, we just coming to help y'all, and that was never the case. Gullah Geechee's never just stayed put. We've had many, many uprisings prior to when the Civil War began, number one. And so more often than not, when we read the stories, though, they never really want to talk about that aspect, nor do people discuss what took place here when the guns were first fired from Fort Sumter in Charleston, from the Citadel, in fact. So when that took place, this whole area was abandoned by anyone of Anglo descent. So it left only the African people here until the Union troops started to come in and the missionaries right behind them. But Gullah Geechee's all along had their own modes of communication, not only through having our own language, but also through our polyrhythms and our shout tradition and our spirituals and the coded messages within those, and such that we would leave these islands in the first place that were the plantation islands and live on external islands that are hummocks for those who are environmentalists that are listening many times, and form maroon colonies even there. And many of the Gullah Geechee's are today called Seminole, and people look at it as a Native American group of people, but they are actually people of African descent, mostly Gullah Geechee and indigenous Americans, that some intermarried and others lived side by side and formed what's now considered to be the Seminole Nation, although there were votes a few years back where the Seminoles then went to vote out who they call the Seminole Freedmen. That's a whole other discussion for another night. And so here it is. You have Gullah Geechee's always fighting for their freedom and always believing there was going to be this day of freedom, the Jubilee Day and thing like that, been a kind. So there was always an opportunity wherein we never simply accepted that enslavement was our lot in life. And so this whole thrust toward it was coupled by industrialization. The North wanted to fight with the South over the fact that the Northerners were getting more into industrializing things. Thereby, they would not have needed as much of the exploitation of enslavement labor that had been going on. The South wanted to keep the status quo because they were living comfortably in the planter aristocracy. So if it ain't to them, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why should we, you know, change? So now became this battle amongst the Anglos that just happened to lead to what is later the Emancipation Proclamation at the end of all of this with the Civil War. But it had nothing. The Emancipation Proclamation was a war document. It had to do with dealing with the Confederacy and the Union and trying to keep the Union intact and trying to quell this uprising of Confederates. And so here it is, those who seceded. And so here it is that for us, though, while they're fighting each other, freedom has come for us. So we end up owning the same lands that we were on before. So with that whole thing leading up to the Civil War, it wasn't like we really waited until that time to then know that we were free. We always within our hearts and souls knew we had that right to the tree of life and that freedom was ours, that the Creator made it such that we were human beings, not three-fifths of one, but a whole human being each, that we had a right to be free. And so our ancestors always fought for it, and then when the Civil War came, many fought in the Civil War troops as soldiers, and there was some on each side, but don't get it twisted. When you see Confederate rolls about people of African descent fighting on the side of the Confederacy, keep in mind that many of them were forced to go as body servants to the Confederate person that had been enslaving them previously. So it's not necessarily that, oh, they went and joined on the Confederate side. Many times they were out there as body servants, and in some cases they were spies that actually then were able to bring back information or do different things out in the field to foil some of the things that happened with Confederate action, and that's another topic. And so with our ancestors, the Civil War simply for us now signifies a time that a massive upheaval actually changed things for the better for us, because in all actuality, when Reconstruction came, we were able to reconstruct many of our families again because a lot of our people had been dispersed and displaced and spread out through sales during chattel enslavement. But now people could come back home and find their people still on the same land, especially here in the Sea Islands. And so when we look at this year again being the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, we can look back on it with the respect that at least many of our people cared enough to stay in place and to go ahead and homestead some land and stay there and wait for the family to come back, and many did. And that's why a lot of us don't move too far now to keep the family together. And so it's critical that we think in those terms, because we're at a time now that people might see what might end up being a civil war again, because you have, again, the change of things now. Instead of industrialization, it's digitization and globalization that people are turning against. And so we see it breaking out all around the world. So, you know, just like our ancestors did, we shout and we pray. And so we look for a positive outcome at the end of all of this, this time, just like they had before.
Indeed, indeed. One of the listeners had a question about Gullah Geechee businesses in Richmond, because I know when we were there, you mentioned you you frequent the Richmond, Virginia area, and you mentioned some businesses here.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, in Richmond, I don't know of any Gullah Geechee businesses in Richmond. We don't have a large enclave of Gullah Geechees in Richmond, but Ours African Hair Braiding is a place in Richmond that I've supported since it's been in Richmond, and Awa has been a part of our family ever since, and she's originally from Senegal, which is where many of our ancestors are from. So definitely if you go by and you purchase anything like the shea butter, the jewelry, or anything from her, or have her do your hair, and trust me, if she do your hair, it's going to be done right. Definitely tell her that Queen Quet sent you to come on by the shop. But we don't have, and unfortunately, and you and I discussed this when you were here, Richmond has had less and less and less businesses
yep.
of people of African descent over the years since I've been going to Richmond. And I really find
yeah.
that unfortunate. But we do see that all over the country, and I think that's why it's so important that, again, not only researching or getting in touch with us in advance when you go somewhere, but try to do the same thing no matter where you're going. Try to find out where the African-owned, the African-American, the black-owned businesses are when you're taking a trip, because more often than not, they don't have advertising dollars so that you'll see a commercial on TV or a big billboard at the airport, but that doesn't mean that they don't need your support. I just ended
wow.
up finding an African shop in Geneva, Switzerland last week, and with all my
Whoa.
Trips to Geneva, Switzerland, I had never found a shop before, but I started heading toward an organic store, went in the organic store for some items that when they took them out of my suitcase at the airport checking my bag, they didn't put them back in there. And so when I went to the organic store, then I asked them for some other items, and the sister in that store said, well, maybe you can go to the African shop. I said, well, where is it? And she pointed out the door, and here they were diagonally across and down this block. And with all those trips, I'd never found them before, and they'd been there 30 years in Geneva, Switzerland. And I'd walked
wow.
by other streets right near there. So we definitely need to make sure that we support these businesses so that they do remain open. But from wherever you are in the world, you can always go to www.gullahgeechee.biz, and there are going to be different links there that will take you to other Gullah Geechee businesses and enterprises, and a www.gullahgeechee.net is where we post a lot of things, because sometimes at different events, people will bring their items out to various events, even though they may not have a storefront where they're located. And those are Gullah Geechees that live in numerous places. So definitely I appreciate that question and appreciate you looking out for things. And if somebody is out there who's Gullah Geechee, who's in Richmond, you need to go on email me so I can know what to do up yonder.
All right. Well, there you have it. Again, I said thank you so much for spending your time with us tonight and sharing information about Gullah Geechee cultural heritage and the legacy. And how we can support. So, like I said, thank you so much, and I will definitely be back in St. Helena Island very soon. Probably in May, actually, so I will be in contact.
All right. So definitely, I said thank you to Hannah, thank you to all the women and thing out there for Black Womb. And we're so glad that the Black woman that did wrong and then they know who we do and things like that. Especially this year month, we to celebrate her story, she story, we story as the woman of the world and things like that. And we're so glad for her sisters like Hannah Chillen will become down here for share with me community and things like that. So God bless all of Hannah Chillen, what a day upon this year airwave with we this evening, and we're so glad for day ya one more again.
I say. All right. All right, everyone, have a wonderful evening, and thank you so much for tuning in to Black Womaniverse Radio. Have a great night.
You are listening to Black Womaniverse Radio. Mark us as your favorite on Blog Talk Radio and leave comments to let us know how we're doing. You can also find us on YouTube and Facebook. On YouTube, our page is youtube.com/Black Womaniverse. Subscribe to us there. On Facebook, our page is facebook.com/Black Womaniverse. Send us a friend request. Sonic Chemistry is a supplier of natural and complementary ingredients used in skincare, hair care, aromatherapy, massage, spa products, herbal preparations, and soap making. We also offer a selection of spiritual supplies, clothing, accessories, natural body scrubs, and herbal mixtures for your beauty and wellness needs. We strive for superior quality products and exceptional customer service. Our natural products and other ingredients are sourced from the most reputable origins and produced in the greenest manner possible. Our products and botanical ingredients are offered in a wide variety of sizes and quantities to allow you to purchase as much or as little as you need. Feel free to browse our diverse selection or contact us to schedule a salon or spa appointment in our newly renovated Beauty and Wellness Center located in Richmond, Virginia. Visit us at divinechemistry.com or call us at 804-627-0277.
The gunner for my alchemist gold. Offer me a price I couldn't resist, I never sold. It's funny how they fronted when I told them I was cold. And they all grabbed their gooses when the first dummy froze. See, I'm from out the darkest out of spaces, spaces. The light years of travel type of places, places. Cyrock from out the friends of vision, vision. Broadcasting through your brain waves, so turn off your television. Listen, I don't have the time or the energy. Battle rapping clowns just so I can get an enemy. This is not my body, just a loner that was given me. I am not a human, but a certified entity. My sound waves travel clear across the nation. Suckers in a frenzy, but I be your meditation. I run with the lower, I guess you could call me Haitian. Birth name Asada, I'm sorry, there's no relation. Patience, young Padawan, learn the basics. MC DJ Bebo graffiti, the four faces. Face it, we don't do no faking round here. We dispensing jewelry for the taking round here. Yeah.
I bounce from planet to planet, and now I'm here. I built the pyramids, now the chapel's in fear. The power's in our numbers, and I'm here to show you how. That when we come together, know it's nation time now. I bounce from planet to planet, and now I'm here. I built the pyramids, now the chapel's in fear. The power's in our numbers, and I'm here to show you how. That when we come together, know it's nation time now.
I'm stirring up the sugar in my honey pot, writing down the message for the magic that I conjure up. Black as ever, send they and see me and call me Kunjo. Busting different languages, okay, call me Mutombo. That's for another situation. I spit in niggas dialect cause of colonization. You don't wanna hear it, that's cool, take a vacation. Grow up younger link cause your lyricism is nascent. Light skin, locked up, no I'm not a Rasta. You can catch my dusty wine at a pasta pasta. Pretty young thing, Michael Jackson. Many times I cover so I won't be a distraction. Follow me, down through the rabbit hole. Try and figure how deep the knowledge of the planet go. Lights up, darkness, no place for the frightened. Down here we even make the dim wits enlighten. I ain't doing this for the pomp or the circumstance. I'm just trying to prove that intelligence is relevant. Put that in your pipe till you smoke it. And later you can tell them I'm the dope. I bounce from planet to planet and now I'm here. I built the pyramids, now the devil's in fear. The power's in our numbers and I'm here to show you how. That when we come together, know it's nation time now. I bounce from planet to planet and now I'm here. I built the pyramids, now the devil's in fear. The power's in our numbers and I'm here to show you how. That when we come together, know it's nation time now.
Now I'm here. I built the pyramids, now the devil's in fear. The power's in our numbers, and I'm here to show you how. That when we come together, know it's nation time.